Good morning. Here's what markets are telling us today. The story threading through every asset this morning is inflation. Not the fading kind, but the kind that arrives with a shock. April's producer price index surged 1.4% month over month, the hottest wholesale reading since 2022, confirming that the Iran-driven energy shock is moving through supply chains. Core PPI, which strips out food and energy, rose 1% month over month, pushing the annual rate to 4.4%. Energy prices alone climbed 7.8%. Trade services jumped 2.7%. Freight transportation, a bellwether for how much it costs to move goods, soared 8.1%. All of this suggests consumer price inflation will stay stubbornly firm, and the bond market has taken notice. The 30-year Treasury auctioned at a yield of 5.046%, the highest since 2007, and it tailed, meaning the market demanded a concession. The 10-year yield rose 9 basis points to 4.479%. Market pricing now implies an 80% chance that the Federal Reserve will hike rates by April of 2027, up from 56% just Monday. Boston Fed President Susan Collins said she could, quote, envision a scenario requiring rate hikes, and Kevin Warsh has been confirmed as the new Fed chair by a vote of 54-45. But he inherits an impossible mandate. The president wants cuts, the data demands hikes. Meanwhile, the bond market stress isn't contained to the United States. The UK 30-year gilt yield touched a 28-year high of 5.813%, caught in the crosswinds of political turmoil and persistent inflation. In Japan, the 30-year JGB yield hit 3.915%, the highest since the tenor was first issued. It's a global repricing of duration, and it's happening fast. Equities for now are telling a different story. The S&P 500 rose 0.6% to a new all-time high, its 17th record in 2026. The Nasdaq climbed 1.2%. The Dow slipped 0.1%. Semiconductors rebounded 2.6%, and Nvidia briefly touched a market capitalization of $5.5 trillion. But beneath the rally, a familiar anxiety is creeping back. John Authors of Bloomberg Opinion draws a direct line to the Nifty 50 era of the early 1970s. Top 10 stocks now account for 40% of the S&P 500, compared to roughly 45% in 1972. Polaroid traded at 90 times earnings before its collapse, he notes, and asks whether today's artificial intelligence infrastructure spending can generate sufficient returns. Meanwhile, Michael Burry, speaking in the Wall Street Journal, compares the current tech frenzy to a, quote, bloody car crash minutes before it happens, pointing out that the NASDAQ 100's forward multiple, measured by owners' earnings, is roughly 40% higher than reported earnings suggest. Hedge funds, for their part, have pushed semiconductor allocations to 20% of portfolios, up from 5.5% a year ago. Stock-picking funds had their best month since December of 1999 in April, up 6.5%. Whale Rock gained 39% in April alone on bets on SK Hynix, SanDisk, and Kioxia. The geopolitical picture is layered. The Trump-Xi summit opened cordially Thursday, with Xi invoking the concept of the Thucydides trap, the idea that a rising power and an established one are almost doomed to conflict. He warned that Taiwan could push relations to a, quote, dangerous place. Markets expect narrow trade outcomes. A framework for maybe $30 billion in tariff easements is being discussed. Chinese stocks sold off on buy the rumor, sell the fact. Meanwhile, the Strait of Hormuz remains tense, but slightly less paralyzed. 9 large tankers have transited since Sunday, including 4 very large crude carriers and 2 LPG carriers. The Japanese VLCC Eneos Endeavour made a rare under-transponder passage. But the International Energy Agency warns the market remains severely undersupplied until at least October, even if the war ended today. Saudi Arabia launched retaliatory strikes against Iran after Iranian attacks on Saudi energy facilities, though communication channels with Tehran remained open. The United Arab Emirates also struck Iran after its petrochemical plants were hit. Qatar declined to retaliate. On the corporate front, a few standouts. Cisco jumped 17% after hours. artificial intelligence infrastructure orders reached $5.3 billion year to date, and it raised its full year outlook to $9 billion from $5 billion, while cutting fewer than 4,000 jobs. Revenue grew 12%. Citigroup held an investor day targeting medium-term return on tangible common equity of 14 to 15%, announced a $30 billion buyback, and set a wealth unit target of over 20% return. Shares rose 3% on what the market saw as execution credibility. Fervo Energy, the Google-backed geothermal company, debuted up 35%, a $1.89 billion IPO buoyed by Trump administration energy policy and a non-binding 3-gigawatt deal with Google. Cerebra Systems priced its IPO at $185 a share, above the range, raising $5.5 billion at a fully diluted valuation of $56.4 billion. OpenAI signed a $20 billion compute deal with the company. SoftBank and Arm had attempted to acquire Cerebras just weeks earlier. All of this reinforces the AI hardware mania, though Cerebras's reliance on UAE customers for 86% of 2025 revenue remains a concentration risk. In commodities, Brent crude hovers around $106 a barrel, West Texas Intermediate near $101. Gold is steady at roughly $4,700 an ounce. Silver has jumped 19% in May on a technical breakout and copper supply concerns. Australian coking coal futures are up 25% year over year. In currencies, the dollar is flat. The yuan extended its gains to 6.79 per dollar, its longest winning streak since September of 2017. The yen remains under pressure, despite what is likely 10 trillion yen in intervention. A few final standouts to carry with you. India has seen over $20 billion in equity outflows since the Iran war started. The most among emerging markets. U.S. ethane exports to China hit a record 776,000 barrels per day in March, driven by a naphtha shortage. Private equity backlogs now stand at 33,000 unsold companies globally, roughly $3 trillion, as the exit drought deepens. UK insurer L&G is seen as a potential takeover target by private capital groups, and beer volumes are falling 6.3% year over year in the United States, with the steepest drops in high gas price states like California, down 16%. That's the picture this morning. A market caught between inflation data that demands tightening and a geopolitical calendar that complicates every assumption. Take it one trade at a time, and I'll be here when the next chapter begins.